Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
It's our Grow Model. Time for us to get into our conversation, into our Grow Model. Our Grow Model speaks about free will. Are we truly free or just programmed to think we are free? That's what we're talking about today, free will. And our guest on the line is Elder Dennis Chisenga, and we'll be asking him about this very subject. We love the idea of free will, particularly those of us who live in republics where we're given the Bill of Rights, civil liberties that are defended by the Constitution. But it flatters the ego, doesn't it? Makes us feel like we're steering the ship, doesn't it? But here's the twist. What if our decisions are just reactions to past pain? Oof, that hit me personally. Sure. What if our decisions are our reactions to genetics and social programming? What if you were raised in fear, trained by trauma, yay, or cornered by culture? Are you actually choosing anything?
You.
Today we question the very core of what freedom really means. And as I'm reading this, every time I read it, it hits me. I mean, it's a sermon on its own. I think my producer outdid herself with that intro. Brilliant stuff there. Just the intro got me thinking right there. That's why we have Elder Dennis Chisenga. Elder, good afternoon to you. Welcome, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us. I don't know what the matter could be, Elder Chisenga. I was struggling to hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I'm able. I'm able to hear you.
I can hear you now. If most of our choices are shaped by our environment, Elder Chisenga, how much control do we really have, really?
I'll begin by first of all defining what choice is. Choice actually implies to the ability to select between opinions freely. And when you talk about our environment, it's in this context we are referring to the sum total of external factors. This can be family, can be culture or trauma, even education and social expectation. So when we talk about the issue of how much control we have, it really has to deal with us understanding how our mind works and how our brain works. So from the psychological perspective, one behavioral psychologist by the name of Skinner, B.F. Skinner, he talks about how our mind works in terms of creating this behavior. And he tells us that much of our behavior is shaped by two systems, with the reward system and the punishment system. So from there, it means that the behavior which I have is a result of the rewards which I had or the punishment. I'm doing something because there's a reward which I'm expecting or I'm avoiding a certain kind of punishment. But what is even more interesting is that our mind actually stores every behavior we have physically, and the habits which we have, which we repeat often, as becomes fitter, it becomes the easier pathway of habit development. So I would love us to look at this example. Consider someone who is raised in a constant criticism kind of environment where they will interpret the gut instincts, which may actually be fear-based, to be something which they think is self-consciousment. Or someone, another example would be somebody who is privileged to be born in a family where there's boldness, which is viewed as a virtue. Not where if you are bored, they regard you that you are being disrespectful, but actually being bored, they regard it as you having virtue. To him,
okay. Can trauma override free will, or does it just redefine it?
Trauma actually not just about what happened to us, what happened to me, but it's about what changed inside me. So trauma can delay my decision making, but it does not alter my free will to decide. It can change somehow how I think or how I view certain things, but in the final result, I'll be the one who will make the decision. So when you talk about trauma, trauma alters but does not eliminate free will. It will try to change here and there how I think because of what I passed through, the experiences I've had. But it does not mean that we cannot come out of trauma. There's healing, and healing isn't about erasing pain. It's about reclaiming our ability to choose despite it. So every step towards healing reclaims the stolen ground. So we can have trauma, and we can have traumas experiences, but we can still overcome, and we can make free will choices.
Okay. So I'm sure by now you see the train of thought that we're pursuing there. So the obvious question now is it possible that we are more like computers running on code than we'd like to admit?
Yeah, actually, from what you've said, that metaphor of us, our minds being represented in form of computers, it comes from the cognitive schemas where we think of our mental structures that help us organize ourselves and interpret information, that maybe somehow they can also get trapped in these systems of things around us. So, for example, if your schema says, I'm unworthy, you will obviously interpret every event through that lens of unworthy. So that's not very different from a 40-line code. Nevertheless, we operate on mental scripts of what we have stored in our minds. But unlike machines, we are self-aware and we are spiritual beings who can rewire ourselves through Jesus Christ because we're a Christian community. And we are not helpless victims of our own programming where we are co-authors in our transformation story with God. So there's that aspect of us, though we have these things in our minds, what we read, we are influenced by what we read, what we see around, the environment we grow in, but still we can make a decision to choose what is better. So we are different from computers because we have that free will in us.
Okay. So let's talk about the idea of free will and Mfundisi. Mdala, is the idea of free will comforting because it shifts blame away from the system and onto the individual? Is that why it's comforting?
Well, I can begin by talking about a system. When we talk about a system, we are referring to a large and an invisible structure like the economic structure, the social and religious, and the blame, which we can talk about, we are referring to the attribution of responsibility. Now, I would love to quote someone, a sociologist, or Peria Odia. He has a concept on what is called the habitus, which shows that our disposition are largely modeled by culture and the class influence. So that means many of our so-called personal decisions are socially conditioned, but it does not mean that I should blame the surrounding where I'm in. And this is where now God's justice comes in, because God's justice always holds a system accountable. So for example, in Amos chapter 5, verse 12 to 24, God calls out both personal sin and societal oppressions. So Jesus too actually condemned the institutional corruption. So I can give an example also, blaming a teen for dropping out without acknowledging poverty or broken schools and trauma is actually us being dishonest to that person, where we just blame them because of the system around them. So free will must never be weaponized to put it to a system to say because of how he's grown up, the environment is in. We have also personal responsibility because we choose on our own. So the church must advocate for both personal righteousness and systematic justice.
I'm listening to what you're saying, Mdala, and it appears as though the environment in which we grow, the circumstances that impact our growth, and our responses, perhaps sometimes even lack of response, is what actually chooses for us. If that's the case, how do we even begin to choose freely when we do not know what's influencing us? I mean, you've just corrected society right now. If we don't, as society, realize that we are misguided in our choices and in our perceptions, how do we really choose? Are we really freely choosing when we don't know what's influencing us?
Well, when we talk about how our mind works on two things. There's number one, the thinking which shows we mostly operate on autopilot, more like the involuntary thoughts. Then also, there's another thought where we critically think about something before we make a decision.
Right.
So most people will live reactively and not reflectively. And that's where the challenge is mostly, where I just react depending on what has come and the like. So free will now comes to the aspect of balancing the two, slowing down the reactive thinking where I'm just impulsive and I sit to think more about the decision which I'll make, then I'm exercising a lot of free will in that aspect. And because our minds allows us to operate those two systems, it means that we equally choose freely when we don't know what's, when we actually know what's influencing us.
Okay. All right. I'll take that. We're going to leave it right there. Thank you ever so much for your time and your insights. Looking forward to the rest of the week. It promises to be a very interesting one. Thank you once again, Mfundisi, for your time and your perspective on this very difficult subject. Let's talk again tomorrow. Same time, same place.
Thank you so much.
All right, that's how I'm going to end our conversation with the good elder. That's our elder who's going to be teaching us and helping us understand this idea of free will in our growth model. Tomorrow we continue where we left off. Once again, thank you very much to Elder Dennis Chisenga.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.